This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
It's a pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Mr. James Brown and Deborah Calloway. And James and Deborah are from the Department of Work and Pensions, and they're involved with the Kickstarter scheme. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on the extra show. Let's kick off by just getting you to explain to us exactly what the Kickstarter scheme is.
Brilliant, and thank you for having us. It's really great to have this opportunity to kind of tell everyone about the Kickstart scheme. Been going now for a few months, launched in September. The scheme is aimed at 16 to 24 year olds who are claiming benefits and are at risk of long-term unemployment. Right. And obviously with the COVID situation, there was always that risk that they was going to kind of get trapped in that cycle of being unemployed. What the Kickstart scheme does is gives an opportunity for a paid work experience, essentially, an opportunity for employers to bring people in to give them 6 months of not only employment, but employment support. So it's kind of a much more encapsulated program, really, to get these young people into a work environment, to give them support, to really lead them into being able to apply for their own job. And that's the key. It's putting them in a position at the end of 6 months where they feel confident, they have learned skills, learned how to interact, how to find a job. And there's several things that kind of build up the process, not only going through the process of interviews at the start of the scheme where we can get the employers from Kickstart to interview, but right through to getting CV help and some managed support, which is part of the employer's commitment of the program.
Fantastic. It sounds like an incredibly useful scheme. Obviously, a lot of employers, some employers are happy to give young people work experience, but they also then kind of back off a little bit because, without being funny, in this day of social media and stuff, a lot of people get attacked by saying, oh, you're giving someone work experience because you're not paying them, or, you know, da 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 da. So by being part of an official scheme, I think it gives it a lot of credibility, and it also gives it a lot of security, if you see what I mean. You know, so that people aren't being abused for their work and not being paid appropriately, or not being paid at all in some cases.
No, absolutely. That's part of the process. I mean, part of the application process for the employer is to look at the kind of wraparound care of what skills and what things are you going to help protect that young person from the kind of workplace. Obviously, there's that side of it as well. But what are we going to do to help these people? And that part of it, which from an employer's point of view is brilliant, because we've got some amazing people locally who offer that as a service, either as part of being a gateway or as a training provider. So there's that side is covered, and there is separate funding for that. So I know we haven't spoke about money so far.
Absolutely. And you raised two really good points there, and we'll cover both of those, hopefully, as we go through. I just want to turn to Deborah, if I may. Deborah, you've been involved, I know, in fulfillment. That is, I guess, finding young people to undertake these tasks.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for the invitation. It's good to be here.
And no, yeah, it's a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you. So give us an overview. I mean, I do a lot of work in schools on careers. I do a careers program in schools. Yeah. And one of the things I find with young people, especially young people, a lot more young people now are deciding not to go to university, not to go on to further education, and would prefer to go into work or apprenticeships or whatever.
Yeah.
But with schools, I don't want to be rude here, but the careers advice is fairly minimalist. You know, they don't explore the whole. I mean, there's millions of things you could do. There's so many things you
can
do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a difficult task. So I just wanted to get a feel from your point of view when you're trying to fulfill some of these roles, is what you kind of look at and how you find, you know, what's the uptake amongst young people? Are you having to convince them to do it, or are there a lot of people that are eager to do it?
I think the good thing about Kickstart is it makes young people think about what they really want to do. And like you say, if their choice from careers at school has been quite limited, you know, there's thousands of different types of jobs out there, and you could go into one area, but actually when you get into that position, it opens up so many others as well. So you're getting lots of different experience. But again, you're getting experience that can be moved from one position to another. But the Kickstart is really making young people think about, what do I want to do? What do I enjoy? What position have I not thought about? So there's lots out there that we can, work coaches can discuss with them. Look, this is the area that you've mentioned to me that you're interested in, but actually there's a whole range of opportunities within that industry. So let's have an explore of those. And they'll have discussions around, you know, and if a young person really doesn't know what they want to do, then it's what do they like doing, and what do you know, what hobbies have they got, what is there that's really, really interesting to them that could turn into a profession at the end of the day.
So the
Kickstart is giving them that choice, that chance as well, to go into an industry they'd never thought of.
It's interesting, isn't it? I'm nearly 70 and I still don't know what I want to do. You know, we ask young people, what do you want to do, when they've got no experience of anything other than school?
So why
would they know, you know? So that's
why you get
I want to be a footballer or a rock star or whatever. It's interesting, isn't it, that and nowadays the world of work has exploded into all kinds of different directions that you can go, even industries. We were talking, we had a special a couple of weeks ago about the hospitality industry, and hospitality is struggling really badly to get staff, really badly. You know, places are going bust and places are closing down because they can't get chefs and they can't get staff to work in their hospitality business. So there's a huge demand out there as well, and it's about bringing those two things together. What I'd like to discuss with you now, if I may, is the technicalities of the scheme. So what I mean by that is exactly what is the scheme, who's paying whom to what, and how do we go about doing this? I don't know who wants to kick off with that.
I'll take that one. So essentially, if we start from the very beginning, the scheme is a £2 billion centrally funded project through the Department of Work and Pensions. And what that means for the employer is it's fully funded. The placement is a six-month paid placement for 25 hours a week at the national minimum wage, which is appropriate for the age. So that's covered. If you would like them to have more hours, or you'd like to pay more, that is the employer's prerogative. However, the bases are covered on the 25 hours. On top of that, we also pay the employer's national insurance contributions and the government pension contribution as well. So the placement is fully funded. On top of that, there's also a £1,500 grant for ensuring the wraparound care, as I mentioned earlier, the training. Should you need to provide them with additional equipment, or you needed a laptop because it's an additional person in your business, that £1,500 is there to be spent on providing for everything that young person needs. And additionally, if you did decide to go through a gateway, which I'm sure we'll touch on gateway organizations shortly, there's additional funding for that. So if you decide to go for a third party to help your application go through, that's funded additionally as well. So again, there should be no reason, apart from some time to invest, and which we're confident that the employer is going to get return on that by the young person being there for 6 months. Everything is covered.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you know, and I can already see within my own organisation how I could use that and how I could provide training to someone coming into the business. That's really cool. I just want to ask a question. Just because you did cover it in terms of all the payments, but I'm just a nerd at things like this. does that person appear on our payroll? So if
they
okay. So basically, yeah. They appear on our payroll, but I don't deduct the NI and the pension contribution.
You do. Right. So what happens is you're reimbursed retrospectively. So right. To kind of just get, obviously for the employers, just to give a quick timeline, once someone starts, you would send a notification to us with a unique ID, which would have been provided at the point of application. Right. That then is processed within about 2 weeks, you'll receive the £1,500. And then after 6 weeks, you'll receive their first month's salary. And the way that's kind of cross-referenced, obviously, it's, you know, it's a public purse, it's public money, so we need to cross-reference that. And when they appear on your PAYE system, is that confirmation that they're started with you, and that will then be reimbursed, and it's reimbursed kind of monthly from there on. So about 2 weeks after you paid them, you'll get the money back.
Understand. So basically, you've got them exactly as you would any other employee that you've taken on. You've incorporated them into what you're doing, and then it's just a money shuffling exercise to reconcile the two. I get it. Yeah. I get it. The reason that I ask that is it does have an effect, because a number of our listeners run sole trader businesses and have asked about this, but they don't have a payroll. Because they're self-employed. So it's important for them to know that they would have to set up a payroll in order to take...
We do have a solution for that.
Oh, do you?
Sorry to jump in there. Yeah, we've got a solution
for that.
Perfect. Yeah. So we've got something which is called I know I mentioned Gateways already, but a Gateway Plus.
Right.
And Gateway Plus is actually act as the PAYE for your Kickstarter.
Right.
We have four or five nationally, and I understand that this week we should have confirmation that the National Chamber of Commerce's will be operating as a Gateway Plus. Therefore, right. Our local Kent and Victor Chamber of Commerce will be able to provide that service, right. And therefore you can kind of join up exactly the same, and you'll go through the scheme, but they'll pay the Kickstarter direct, and they will claim that back.
Fantastic. I like the sound of that. I mean, and it sounds like this has been thought out really carefully, because for me, that's where there's an opportunity here, because a lot of very micro businesses, self-employed people, desperately want to start out on the route of employing people, but are incredibly concerned about the overhead, the regulations, and you know, that's as well as actually finding, resourcing someone and managing them and training them suitably or getting them suitably trained. So I love that. While we're talking about that, you mentioned Gateways a couple of times, and that was Gateway Plus. Why don't you tell us about Gateways in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So when the system and the program first started, it was slightly different, and you had to have a minimum of 30 vacancies to apply directly to the program. That's changed. However, the gateways which were set up to manage and group book these placements still exist, and they do a brilliant job of assisting you through the process. They handle a lot of the paperwork. I mean, essentially, we've got I think it's about 100 or so nationally, maybe more, and I know there are at least 18 or 19 that kind of cover Kent.
Right.
And what they'll do, they'll help you submit your bid. It will form part of their bid, go up and be approved with them, and they will then come back to you, and all of the kind of communications you'll have from an application point of view will be through them. And I know that having spoken to several, that they'll double check your applications, they'll help you kind of fill it out. And if it is confusing, and having that third party there, you can go, what do I do there? They've done this a hundred times, and it's brilliant, because sometimes the process is so much easier than I ever gave it credit for. But when I joined the team, and quite often when I'm speaking to employers, they're amazed at how easy and streamlined it is, because it was rolled out at pace, and therefore it needed to be streamlined, it needed to be accessible.
Yeah.
but it's surprising how well it has been done. And I think that's brilliant for everybody. And if you add a gateway into the mix as well, who can kind of really help just kind of go, oh, let's have a look at this. And shortly, I'm sure we'll discuss, obviously, what makes a Kickstart vacancy. It isn't any job. It isn't the job you've been advertising for 3 weeks and can't get anyone in. But again, they'll be able to spot your issues and say, well, this really isn't, but maybe we can look for one that is.
Okay, well, let's explore that, because that is a very important point, isn't it, in terms of what can you actually bring someone in to do, and what is it, you know, what are the criteria for this? Because I guess for a lot of businesses, when you say, right, well, you can bring someone in on work experience, their first thought is, well, I'm going to get someone that's got no experience of anything, so I'll get them in and they can do the filing and make the coffee and you know, tidy up and stuff like that. And that's not really what we're after, is it?
No. And you know, there is that mix of it. That, you know, there's no reason why they can't make a coffee, I'm sure. Oh, but yeah. What we
it's my job, that is.
The main thing for... There's the key kind of legal criteria to make a Kickstart vacancy. And the main things with that is it needs to be an addition to your business needs. Right. It can't be someone you would have employed anyway, or a vacancy you'd have employed anyway. It can't replace someone, and it can't replace someone who's been made redundant. So it needs to be a new, in addition to your regular course of business vacancy. Right. And what that's doing is that's obviously protecting the people who are in businesses and protecting the workforce. As they are, what we can't be doing is bringing in, you know, paid government labour to kind of take the place of the people that the employers were taking. So there's that side of it. As for the work they're carried out, as long as it is safe to do so, and not have a conflict of interest. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's some legal ones where, you know, obviously there's some industries that perhaps wouldn't be right for the government to fund young people to work in. But essentially, they can do everything from going out onto a building site and digging trenches with the rest of the guys, to working in an office, to working at home. We've got people working in every industry you could possibly be imagined, from making coffee in a coffee shop to sitting at home doing gaming programming, and everything in between.
Yeah. Okay. No, I get that, and that was one of my worries, and you've covered that in a lot of depth, which is interesting, because at the moment with the pandemic and the lockdown and everything, you know, the employment outlook is looking pretty bleak, and we've got, I think there's still 4 million people on furlough. There's a lot of people unemployed, and of course, once the furlough scheme ends, there's going to be a lot of people made unemployed. And what we don't want to do is have employers go, "Oh, I can get rid of someone expensive and bring someone in that the government's going to pay for." You know, because that's just not fair on anyone. I get exactly why there's a criteria for this, and that's really interesting. We kind of covered a lot here. I want to end up, if I may, with a couple of things. And I don't know even if you can answer this. Do you know what the uptake has been in Kent since this scheme was launched? Any feel for how many young people have been given positions?
I think we're at or round about 1,000 starts in Kent. If we're not there, we certainly should be in the next few days. You know, I mean, it's that close. Right. And obviously, they take a little while to filter through the pipeline. So we've got about 1,000. And as you know, as I mentioned earlier, the program did start in September, but it's been a bit of a kind of slow burner. The system's changed. We've taken some of the barriers away, and the number of vacancies we've got live now is increasing so rapidly. We've got a huge amount of opportunities available, and you know, we do have kind of aspirations for the amount of young people we'd love to reach. You know, I mean, that's in excess of 5,000 before the end of the year, and with the kind of the curve of the jobs coming on and the employers engaging, then yeah, we'd love to reach that.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, absolutely. And as you say, I mean, having changed the scheme from the original 30 vacancies has made a huge difference, because you know, a lot of employment, as you guys know, is actually with small businesses. And although, you know, they only employ one or two people each, there's a lot more of us than there is of big businesses. You know,
especially in Kent.
Yeah, absolutely. There's 144,000 small businesses in Kent, and about five big ones. So, maybe a bit more. But
does that include us? I think we're probably one of the big five.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's really interesting. Okay, I just want to finish off, if I may, James and Deborah, with I'm an employer. I've heard you talking about this, and I think, oh, that's interesting. What's the start point for me? Can I come to the DWP? You know, do I come to the job centre and ask about this, or how do I go about even starting?
The best place to start, I would say, is on the .gov website. This way, you know, you're getting the information from us. There's a lot of websites out there now with businesses picking up how they can get involved, both as official gateways and some people kind of looking to kind of mediate in between the different levels. So I would say if you go to kickstart.campaign.gov.uk, and I'm sure we can pop the links somewhere on this.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, that would be the best place to start. And then, I mean, there's lots of options there where we can look for gateways, look for how to apply. The actual process for applying is relatively straightforward. So I would say, you know, it is pretty straightforward there. But yeah, start on .gov and look for the Kickstart stuff there. And then once you've kind of made a decision. If you were looking for a gateway, there's a button to click for that. If you're looking to go for yourself, there's a button to click for that. But I would always say start in the middle, start with us, and you can't go far wrong.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. We will put that link on the radio website so that people can find it easily. James Brown, Deborah Coolway of the Department of Work and Pensions, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Extra Show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and we really hope that you have continued success placing young people into work experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.